Welcome to Cross Country Checkup. I'm Bob McDonald, sitting in for Rex Murphy. Our question today on this 20th anniversary of the Internet, how has the Internet changed the way you do things? So, have you checked your email yet today? Downloaded an MP3 or OGG file? Is your system using a dial-up network or high-speed modem? Are you a web user, surfer, or just a browser? And don't you hate all that spam that keeps appearing in those annoying pop-ups? You know, if someone had asked me those questions a decade ago, I wouldn't have a clue what they were talking about. Yet today, there's a whole generation of young people who do not know a world without the Internet. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the birth of the system called TCP/IP, which allows computers to talk to each other through a series of networks, what we now call the Internet. The growth of that network, along with the explosive growth of personal computers, has produced the greatest revolution in human communication society has ever known. The Internet has shrunken the world into one electronic global community. People on opposite sides of the planet who have never met are now playing games with each other in real time. They chat through electronic messages, send digital images of themselves, share music and video, do business transactions, all from the comfort of their own homes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you could see the World Wide Web, it would appear as a shimmering electronic net wrapping the earth in human chatter. There's never been anything like it. 40% of Canadian homes now have internet access. That's about 15 million users in our country. The most common internet activity is email, and on average, each person gets about 20 messages a day. That adds up to more than 300 million messages a day just in Canada. And that's just a drop in the bucket compared to the hundreds of millions of other users around the world. You could argue that we spend more time communicating with strangers electronically than we do talking to our families. We're obviously saying something to each other. But what are we saying? Has this new ability to search for information, shop online, and communicate instantly with so many people made us a better society? Call us at 1-888-416-8333. What impact has it had on education? How has the Internet changed your life? Do you communicate, research, or even play better with the Internet? What are you doing online? We'd like to hear from you. How has the Internet changed the way you do things? Our number, toll-free, 1-888-416-8333. And, of course, you can participate in our web forum by going to cbc.ca/checkup and click on Discussion Forum. I'm Bob McDonald. The number, 1-888-416-8333. This is Cross Country Checkup on CBC Radio 1 and on the Country Canada Digital TV channel. Our first guest is Daniel McKay, who joins us from Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where he manages the school's computer network. Now, Mr. McKay and a few others had a celebration a couple of days ago to mark the 20th anniversary of the Internet. Hello, Mr. McKay.
Greetings.
So can you explain to us what happened to the world of computing 20 years ago on January 1, 1983?
On that day, the Internet engineers at the time turned off a protocol that had been brought up 10 years previously and enabled them to bring up a small network and try out a bunch of protocols and discover that that thing had some limitations. In the intervening 10 years, they designed a new protocol called TCP/IP, and it was on January 1st, 1983 that they turned off the old protocol and said TCP/IP is the way to go. A year before, the word Internet had been coined, and since then, there's been nothing like the concept of the Internet being turned off.
So there was already a system in place. This was just switching to a better one. Like, how much better was it?
Well, a lot better. The previous protocol was called NCP, and it was built for a very small network and a very small number of computers. And in fact, at the time, there were only about 300 computers on the whole network.
How did you mark the anniversary in Halifax?
Well, Halifax has a tradition of New Year's Day levies. And so the coincidence of the anniversary date and the fact that we have levies here, which are open houses, and people come in and celebrate with libations and good food, was perfect. So that's exactly what we did. We invited a whole bunch of internet local old-timers and curmudgeons and geeks, and we sat around and we had courtesy of a couple of sponsors, some cake and some appetizers, and we talked about old times and a little bit about future times too.
Well, about the old times, what were you doing in 1983? What was your involvement in the internet 20 years ago?
In 1983, I was a student at Dalhousie, and we had several computers there that were that had email and a system called Network News that not a lot of people use anymore, called Usenet News, which was a huge communication medium, you know. And so Dalhousie and other universities across Canada and a few companies and, of course, our defense research establishments had email and were doing these kind of things.
I wonder if you can take me through a bit of the history of this, because I understand that the Internet started as a military way to communicate through a web rather than just single lines, so that if somebody attacked it, there would always be another way to get the message through. Can you take me through that history in a nutshell?
The original proposals for that kind of network were kind of sketched out in the late 60s. An initial system was built then and implemented the system with NCP. It was designed to be simple, and out of that, the robustness was a side effect of people wanting to design a very simple system for two reasons. First, it would be easy to program, and second, it could run on any kind of computer. That was kind of the goal.
So what happened since then? When did we get to the whole idea of a World Wide Web and all that?
Well, one of the things that happened coincidentally is that in the mid-80s, of course, there was this huge popularization of microcomputers. And so suddenly there were computers everywhere at the same time. We were building, faster and faster networks, and at the same time, a couple of people were coming up with ways to make access to large amounts of information much easier. There were several ideas. A couple of them were Canadian. There was this really great system built in the early 90s called Archie, which was a system for indexing archives, which no one had ever had before, and people thought was extremely clever. It was built at McGill.
Did you have any idea 20 years ago just what would happen, how the Internet would actually blossom and become as popular as it is today?
20 years ago, no. 10 years ago, 13 years ago, in Nova Scotia and across the country, teams were working to try to make something like this happen. And you know, at the time, it seemed like a huge uphill battle. And then all of a sudden, in about 1993 or 94, 95 kind of thing, things actually started to happen.
In what way?
Well, in 89... We started to build a high-speed network across Canada that anyone could use. Coincidentally, in '89, a place in Switzerland called CERN did a proposal for this thing called HTTP, which was the thing that the web is built on. Mm-hmm. The two things kind of came together, and in '93, we had a reasonably high-speed network across Canada, and the first web browser came out called Mosaic.
Mm-hmm. So you've seen the first 20 years of Internet development. Where do you think it's going to go from here?
It's really hard to tell. But you can see the obvious historical progression of plain text presentation of information to graphics to sound in the last few years. We've had vast amounts of sound files being moved both legally and ill. We've seen movies more of the same over the last, say, year. Obviously, in the next while, we're going to see something like three-dimensional presentation of information. We're going to see immersive environments in which you're in a room that looks a little bit like a holodeck, and you have there's a projector on each wall of the room, and you're in another space. I don't know. Maybe we'll have smell-o-vision.
Odorama.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that idea. The holodeck and odorama, lots of possibilities. Mr. McKay, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Danny McKay is a research, is Network Services Manager at Dalhousie University in Halifax. Our number, once again, is toll-free, 1-888-416-8333.